Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Boy, they sure are pleasant this time of the year. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in cloudy Oak Grove, Mississippi. And the opening segment of our show today is going to be sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant, where for 25 years they've been serving up the best Southern cooking buffet you'll find anywhere in the Pine Belt or the state of Mississippi, for that matter. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., Friday nights from 5 till 8, and on Sundays from 11 to 2. 25 years of serving up excellent food, and I've never had a bad experience. I don't think you will either. Movie Star Restaurant. Another great week for the Golden Eagles. They go 3-0 and sweep another weekend series. They bolt up to number 8 in this one's D1 baseball poll, up 4 spots. They're also number 8 in Baseball America, up 4 spots. RPI, DEMA, the last I saw was 9. Still there?
Yep.
All right, so great, great numbers. One weekend left to play. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us every Monday. Coach, I want to get to a general question first today. And as always, thank you, sir, for being on the show every Monday. I want to take you back to March 20th through April the 12th. The baseball team plays 15 games, and they go 8-7. Fast forward April 13th through today, the next 15 games, the team is 12-3. What's the difference, Coach?
I just think it's confidence, gotten their confidence back, gotten their swagger back, and not arrogant swagger, but just a belief in each other, belief in themselves of, getting off a bus or walking out of the locker room truly expecting to win. In a sport like we play, it's long. We play a lot of games. Every team's going to have some stretches where it just kind of you lose your way a little bit, and it's hard to get back on that track. And but it's part of it, and that's part of the preparation. You always try to prepare these young men for the storms that come. And we were in one a little longer than we wanted to, but they weathered it, and I think have come out on the other side.
You find yourself now just one game out of first place with 3 games left, as Coastal, surprisingly, is beaten 2 out of 3 this weekend. So you have locked first or second place in the upcoming tournament. But there's got to be some frustration that you're not going to get a shot at Coastal Carolina, Coach.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we would love to. That would be, if one of these last 2 weekends that we're playing a team from the East, if it was Coastal this past weekend or Coastal this weekend, that's good for everybody. But it's not. We can't control that. And, so you move on and you try to go win the games against opponents that you are going to play.
We've seen this in basketball before, Coach, but would there be any potential of making the final weekend kind of like a hybrid weekend? I mean, I know scheduling or travel would be very hard, but, where the 1 and 2 in standings play, 3 and 4, so on and so forth.
Man, that's out of my pay grade. I couldn't tell you. That's something with the league. Would I be for it? Sure. I think, just anything to strengthen RPIs is extremely valuable and important for the league.
Was there ever – if you look back on this season, Coach Ostrander, if there's in the 2 time periods that Bob was talking about, in the current time period, has there been any 1 or 2 things that you kind of think to yourself, we really kind of made the turn with those moves that we made? They really seem to work out well.
I think it's easy to talk about Cam Clark moving to starting, talk about, moving Colby back to the pen, you know, moving Sonny to start and whatever. I mean, you know, there's so many you can go back on. I don't know if there's one catalyst for everything. It's just, it takes time sometimes to put this puzzle together and find out what feels right, looks right, you know, sounds like right and all that. And then I think we have. So I feel very encouraged that we're at a point, you know, in the most important time of the year that, you know, we got some rhythm and flow.
Actually, I felt good for you this weekend because I know how hard a worker you are and how diligent you are, but Saturday and Sunday were probably the first two games all year where I thought, well, good for Coach Oz. He can kick back just a little and let his guys do what they do. I kind of got that feeling.
I bet he didn't kick back much.
No, that's not my vocabulary, I promise you, when we're playing a game. So it's because it can get away from you real quick. I mean, it's, you know, so baseball's a crazy game, so you better respect it.
Well, Coach, you start out Friday, and Dave and I were kind of laughing about it before the show. You're down 2-5. We're kind of nervous in these parts. I'm guessing you were just focused on the game, but then the guys just, you know, they just really catch fire and then dominate the series the entire weekend. We'll talk about pitching, but I think you'd have to be pleased as well with your hitting. 10 hits, 11 hits, and 14 hits in three games.
Absolutely. I'm very proud. I think our offense is, you know, did a great job. I mean, they're kind of built for built more for those crooked number innings versus, you know, the manufacturing. We'd like to be able to do both. Don't get me wrong. We'll try. So when you get a chance to cash in, you know, on a crooked number, big, three, four, five-run inning, and you do that, that can be devastating, you know, to the other team. And I think that's what we saw this weekend.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about those crooked numbers, Oz. And I think it was, off the top of my head, just three home runs all weekend. Which obviously isn't anything bad because you were still gaining so many runs, and that's something that, you know, one of the criticisms of the team is that you guys depend on the long ball. But, I mean, this weekend you proved that you can score a lot of runs without it.
Yeah, it did. It's a big park, I mean, huge gap. So, I mean, it's a double paradise. And, you know, so – but able to, you know, drive the ball out of the park at some key moments is what I recall. You know, I think they were, you know, a couple three-run homers, mm-hmm. a grand slam or whatever. So that's huge. And – you know, but then we got some really good, you know, balls in the gap with some runners on two that would, or some doubles that scored a bulk of runs. So, yeah, there's more than one way to score, and but you are what you are. Your identity as a team is, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, if we just tried to do nothing but steal bases and bunt, we're probably not going to win a lot of games.
Right.
You know, so you just got to play your hand.
It seems like the bottom of the lineup is definitely contributing more. When Bob was talking about kind of the difference between the 8-7 versus 12-3 now, it seems like the bottom of the lineup between your Higdons, your Stockmans, your Longs, those players, real big for you this weekend.
Yeah, definitely getting the production down there. Yep. That makes it. I mean, that those first six or, you know, six or seven, whatever, are, you know, as advertised. But then now you add 8 and 9 that's also mm-hmm. contributing and getting on when you turn it back over. It's very, you know, it makes it tough. We're going to, you know, if we can continue that, I think we'll have a chance to generate, you know, plenty of runs and some offense.
And, Coach, it looks like to me, too, a great move is what you're doing with Barrett and Long now. And you're DHing one, playing the other one at third base. That's getting you two really good athletes on the field.
Yeah, it's just kind of the matchup and just what the style is. And that was a team, you know, that this weekend that a lot of run, I mean, heavy in the running game and bunting and, you know, and ground balls, just a premium of being able to play, you know, pretty good defense. So, you know, I think we played Dre there once and Ty twice over there. And, you know, so, and, you know, it's good to have options and to get creative with, you know, the lineup, stuff like that.
Yeah, and kudos to the catchers because the announcers yesterday were kind of bemoaning the fact that James Madison had so much success running all year long, and that every attempt they made, you guys threw them out. So kudos to your two catchers, too.
Well, we take pride in that. We got catchers that can really throw, but, you know, they have to have pitchers that mix well and mix up their holes and their looks and timing and stuff and get it to them quick. And we work our tails off on that, and Coach Alege does with these pitchers. And because it's a standard that if you want to pitch, you better be able to control the running game. It's not just throwing strikes. It's that, too. So, but, yeah, hats off. Catcher did a great job. Just really, you know, shut them down with that.
And shout out Tucker Stockman for taking that one yesterday. I mean, if that were me, that would have been rolling on the floor, by the way, for those who know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that made me hurt. I had to get up and walk around the house a little bit. And what a play he made Friday night behind first base. Coach, I know that put a smile on your face when the catcher picks off the runner at first base.
All right, I'm trying to remember which one this is. Is that when Higdon threw behind him?
Yes,
right.
Okay, yeah,
right.
Our shotgun play. So that's something we work on. We've spent a lot of time with that, and we've done it a couple times this year. And that, to me, I don't know if that was coincidental. Once that play's done and the inning's over, we come in and I think we put up a big inning. Yeah. You know, so momentum can be swung different ways, but great job by Higgy and Tucker, hustling as he always does, being where he's supposed to be.
Well, when we come back, I do want to ask Coach about Higdon. It's kind of deja vu again. He seems to be really scorching it up, Kelly, here at the end of the year. Ben Higdon looks like he's going to be a force down the stretch again.
And I asked a question of Coach midway during the season about pitching matchups with the Eagles as the hitters, and he gave me a really poignant answer. I'm going to re-ask that question and see if he still feels the way that he did midseason.
That's Christian Ostrander on the Super Talk Eagle Hour, the high-flying Gold Eagles, 8 in this week's D1 poll, 8 in Baseball America, and what's that RPI again, Dima?
9.
That's pretty good.
Number 1 in our hearts, too.
Well, no question about that.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this segment of the show is sponsored by Eagle Tire West. Matt Warren's happy today. He's a former Golden Eagle pitcher. He runs Eagle Tire West, and he invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products in any tire brand that you need for your truck or your car. They carry a multitude of brands at Eagle Tire West, not just Goodyear. They can get any brand of tire you want for your vehicle. They're located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Eagle Hour on the road a lot over the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But right now, let's get back to our conversation with baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Coach, I brought this up during the course of the commercial break. You go back to last year and you look at Tuna, Jake Cook, Monastere, Ozzie Pratt, J.B. Middleton. You lose that kind of talent off of a baseball team, that is a heck of a blow. But here you sit a year later with the 9 RPI in the country, and you're 3 games away from 10 consecutive years of winning 40 games. Kelly said it best last week when we brought this up. This speaks to the strength and stability of Southern Miss baseball now, Coach.
It does. It's just the tradition. You know, it's the culture. It's what's been paved, you know, here for so many years, you know, decades. And, you know, and our job is just to keep, you know, trying to grow it and all that stuff. So, yeah, every year, man, you feel like, at least since I've been here, I know I felt this way. Every year you look up and you're losing some guys. You're going, you might think, you know, how difficult it's going to be to replace that or whatever. Then somebody steps up. So, or somebody comes in and fills a gap. And so it's a, yeah, it's awesome. It's fun to watch and see, and I'm just proud of these guys for, you know, doing what they're doing this year.
I'm curious, off that, Coach, who's one player you point to specifically? I mean, it may be more than one player, but, you know, for me, it's Morrison at second base. I mean, I don't know if he's played second base before to fill in Monastere and giving you that power. I'm just curious what's your thoughts on who one specific person to replace one of those guys who's just really surprised.
Yeah, I think he, you know, he's that answer there. Yeah. You know, the guy, the new guy that came in mm-hmm. and did it, and he's done a stellar job. And yeah, played a little bit of second base in junior college, but man, he's done it well here and a great offensive player. But Seth Smith, you know, mm-hmm. he's got to get some props. You know, his defense is short. I mean, it's been stellar. And you know, you had Dickerson, and then when he left, you think, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Then right. Ozzie plays great. Then Ozzie leaves, you think, what are we going to – Seth, you know, has played great. So that's just kind of, you know, we don't take it for granted. I'm proud of these guys.
It's kind of a blow to the guys' egos that left, you know, because they're thinking, ah, well, we're really – oh, gosh, the new guys are just as good as we
well, well, that brings me to Ben Higdon, who really lit the place up at the end of the season last year. Now takes Tuna's place, so he's replacing – A guy that's going to be remembered here for a long, long time. Tuna was about as big a personality as they get. But, boy, Ben Higdon has proven to be another one of those kids you found in the portal, Coach, that's very athletic and has made a huge contribution to the program, I think.
Oh, he has, you know, last year and this year. And just great personality. I wish everybody could, you know, spend as much time with these guys as we get to. And in hotels, on planes, on buses, and in locker rooms, on the field, and it's just fun. It's these are just great young men that have great personalities, and you know we're all about relationships, and these guys epitomize that, and you know, and just the vibe and the feel of it. It's a true family.
I want to dig a little bit deeper on that, because when you're going for guys in the transfer portal, Coach Ostrander, the numbers obviously you have access to, but how do you really find out about the core values of a kid until you can be around them an extensive period of time, which you really don't get that luxury when you're going in the transfer portal? But it seems like every kid that you've pulled the arm on the slot machine with have come up cherries across the board. So, man, good for you. But how do you really find out about a kid's personality and core values?
You got to ask the right questions, and you got to try to get to – don't just ask those questions to the people that are just going to pump them up, you know. And you know, so you try to expand as much as you can and gather as much info. But when we sit down with them and just, you know, you can read people pretty quick and look in the eyes and stuff. So that's I'm very aware of that. I think that's something that's extremely, extremely important to do. But I say all that, and I think this is the biggest thing, that even if it's a young man that might not, You didn't know 100% for sure, this culture makes them better. This culture mm-hmm. makes them conform. This mm-hmm. culture makes them get on board with the guys that have been here because they see how strong it is and how awesome it is.
I asked you one question, and I alluded to this before the break. Mid-season, or a little bit before, I said, you know, the susceptibility to left-handed pitching, and I think I'm paraphrasing, but you said, heck, I would. I'd pitch left-handers against us. But as an outsider looking in, that doesn't seem to be a problem or near as big a problem as it once was. True, false, and if not, why not?
I think it's true. I think we have some lefties that hit lefties well. We have some that still don't like that left-handed snake. I mean, it is what it is, that slider. But we have, you know, we have some balance, too. We can go left, right, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's just a little more balance than maybe in some previous years. And they've done a good job. You know, our coaches have done a great job with them, getting prepared to, you know, compete against lefties when that time comes. And when you see a lot, you get a little better. Right? So, you know, it's they kind of give take. But I think they do a better job for sure.
Something we haven't asked you yet, Coach, is just about your starting pitching over the weekend. And I wanted to point to Kandon Sundstrom on Sunday. He gives up that grand slam, of course. I thought it was important that you sent him back out there to not finish the game like that and to get you a couple more outs.
Yeah, he got pretty ticked off after that grand slam, and I thought he threw the best inning, you know, thereafter mm-hmm. Of the game for him. And he's growing, he's learning. So, I, Coach Leger and I talked about it, and we communicate that to him, that, you know, part of his growth is learning how to handle those big innings that he gets, and not, you know, he's a very cool, calm cat, you know, and you got to keep that angst and that intensity regardless, you know, what's going on around you, you know. And so I think he's learning with that, but he threw the ball well, and mm-hmm. you know, a couple, an infield hit, a bloop, and you know, and then the bomb, or really had an error and then a bomb, but it is what it is. He recovered fine. He'll be he'll be good to go this weekend.
He looked mad when he left the field. Yeah.
He was.
and it might have just been the way the games played out, but didn't see Cross Sibley this weekend. And just curious if that was because the way the games played out. He's pitched so many innings for you guys, and getting him a weekend of rest is probably good.
Yeah, it was the way it played out, and the fact that the splits on that opposing team, they hit like 295 against lefties and 260 against righties. So, you know, you look at there's a lot of things you look at, and that's just their approach and their style's more conducive, you know, to facing lefties and stuff. You kind of saw that against Graydon. I thought they had a great approach against him. So, so it's great to have, you know, if you don't have to go to them, you got other guys who can get it done.
All right, Coach, three more games, home games against a team that's not doing very well, I think, in the dead last spot in the league.
Biggest head scratcher in the league, in my opinion.
How do you keep your guys, attention focused on a team that on paper you look at it and you would think you'll beat them three times easily?
I mean, really the same way we've done it, you know, from day one, just talk about us and what we can do and what we can control, and that's playing the best game we can, and not who cares who's in the other dugout, who cares what the paper says, because they can this team's beat Clemson, these teams beat Coastal Carolina, you know, so they can beat us too, really? I promise you, if we don't show up.
Georgia Southern has beaten Clemson?
Yes. Coach, senior weekend at the Pete, that's something that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Several seniors, Russo, Higdon, Urban, Morrison, so many guys for their final weekend at the Pete. In the regular season, we should point that out, in the regular season, final weekend at the Pete, but has to be kind of a bittersweet moment for them.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be very emotional. Yep. It's going to be emotional on us. It's going to be emotional on them. You know, there's guys that, you know, you just seen them grow up here, man. You know, you've seen the Colby Allens and the Russos that came here, you know, and Cross Sibley's four or five years ago, and just watch them turn into such great players and just great people. And so it's special, and it should be a motivator too for all of us, and you know, send them out on a good note.
I guess from a coach's standpoint, last question, Coach Oz, that's kind of hard on you too, right? Because these almost become like your kids.
Oh man, there's no doubt I'll have some tears shed. I mean, it's how it's supposed to be, man. That means the relationships are real, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we've talked before about how kids might not know who their high school algebra teacher was,
or who their coach was.
They know who their coaches are. No, that's for sure.
Coach Ostrander, you're doing an incredible job. You don't need to hear that from us. I mean, everybody knows that, as well as your staff. And congratulations. You got the baseball team right where everybody hoped they would be at the end of the year, and we look forward to a great regular season finale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope everybody shows up, man, and makes this place rowdy. And if it is the last game for these seniors at this park, that we send them off well.
Thank you very much, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. Guys, it's not going to be the last weekend at the park. I asked him about that off the air. He's not going there. He's not going to talk about hosting a regional. But I think we can, and we think it's going to happen, don't we, Dima?
Yeah, it's pretty much a lock. I would be very, very surprised if it didn't happen.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Appreciate Coach Christian Ostrander joining us as he does every Monday. Sounded like he was in a good mood today, guys. I think he was feeling pretty good.
I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, you're sitting there at probably the best that I personally ever seen them as far as a regional regional host. And I mean, and I was talking about on my show that I do with Glenn Dyer, friend of the show, last night on a live show. I mean, if you look at kind of how the cards are falling right now, I mean, there's an outside chance at a top eight here. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 40-14 regular season, right, if you were to sweep this weekend. If the cards fall in your favor and you get the regular season title, that's always a huge knock, you know, feather in your cap. And then if you were to go on and win the tournament in Montgomery, of course, that means you basically have to win out. But, I mean, yeah. 44-14 regular season and conference tournament champions, no. That's a strong top yeah. eight.
Let's get to that real quickly, but let me do a couple quick things first. Forest Health want to remind you to keep up with your favorite team is fun. Keeping up with the Golden Eagles is a blast, but you're the most important player. Now, be sure you get an annual physical. Eat right, exercise, stay close to your family doctor. Make sure your health is as good as it can be and rely on the experts at Forest Health to help you with expert medical care closer to home.
And if you're going to be watching the Eagles, make sure that your heart medication is up
that
to date.
That is not good. Mine, I was looking for mine when it was 5-2 the other afternoon.
I knew they'd find a way to win. They're just rolling right yeah. now. You could just kind of see it coming, I thought.
Hey, we're on the road this week a lot. We're going to be at First Bank this Wednesday on Highway 98 West. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings Thursday. Next Monday, we will be at MCS Home Center, which leads me to remind you about MCS, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. They've got everything you need for your home, your lawn, and your garden. They've got great, great people. They got nice stoves. They got barbecue grills. They got a nursery. It's far more than just a home center. We look forward to being at MCS next Monday. Always a good time at MCS Home Center. Okay, you're saying a possibility of a top eight regional. Where does the league stand as we sit here right now, Damon?
Man, I think a lot better than last week. I mean, last week, I remember coming on here, we had Mark Etheridge on, and we were talking about, and then y'all had Stats McGee on Wednesday when I was out. But we were talking about the fact that the Sun Belt might be a two-bid league. I mean, you had Coastal and Southern Miss as your locks and get into the tournament. Then everybody else was kind of faltering a little bit. Last week, a huge series win for Louisiana on the road at App State. App State was really hot, but Louisiana went on the road and got a win there. So they sit top 45 RPI. They're in a great situation right now because Coastal's coming to Louisiana this week. And if they were to win that series, you would feel really good about your chances to get an at-large bid there for Louisiana. And then Texas State, you know, this is a team who Southern Miss swept. Then they went to Coastal Carolina, took a game from the Shants there, but really felt like they were kind of on the out. South Alabama, I think, went over there and swept them. It felt like they were done. Huge weekend series win this weekend, and now their RPI is back in the top 40s. They're a hot team. I wouldn't want to see them in Montgomery. They're swinging the bat well. I think 14 homers over the weekend.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I'm having trouble digesting, new math or old. All right, you've got the Chanticleers still in first place by a game over the Eagles. Eagles playing the last place team in the league, the Georgia Southern. The Gatta Eagles come in here this weekend, and you've got Coastal going to Louisiana. All right. Depending on the results this weekend, you could still have Coastal going into the Sun Belt tournament number one, but there's a chance that they would not get to host a regional, or depending on what happened, you'd think that they would get in the tournament somewhere. But right now, other than Southern Miss's situation, Dima, it seems to me the rest of it is just a hodgepodge and a mess going into this last weekend.
It really is. I mean, you have the standings are a mess. That's number one. I mean, you have several teams on Arkansas State's not in the tournament in Montgomery right now. Arkansas State, who's like pretty daggum good, you know, so they have to do a great. They have to win this weekend and then get some help.
Yeah, they didn't help themselves this weekend.
No, they did not. They got swept, I believe. So, off the top of my head, but you're right. I mean, Coastal right now, the reason they're not in line for a host is because their RPI is 27 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not getting you a host. I don't care who you are. I mean, even if you win the regular season and the conference title, you're not getting a host at 27 RPI in a non-Power 5 league.
But yet you could have a second-place team like Southern Miss, and this is all potential, of course, with the RPI that would get to host.
Yeah, but that's kind of going back to their that schedule that they put together in the front of the year. That's why their RPI is so high. I mean, it's not these conference wins.
Well, you got to play the games, but you like the setup this weekend. Louisiana, like you say, could literally play themselves into the regional with a series win.
They have a lot to play for.
They're a good baseball team too.
And they beat Southern Miss in a series down there.
Correct. So, meanwhile, Southern Miss plays the last place team in the league. I kind of get nervous even thinking about this kind of stuff, but you could see a scenario where the Golden Eagles sweep Georgia Southern and Louisiana wins their home series and Southern Miss suddenly has the number one seed in the tournament.
Correct. That would be obviously what you would want to happen, but I would not sleep on Georgia Southern. They can swing the bat very well. Of course, they beat Coastal Carolina in Conway last week, and then did take a game from Clemson earlier in the season. So they have the ability to kind of jump up and score some runs. Mm-hmm. Their just pitching staff has just been awful all season. But on Louisiana and Coastal, what is interesting about it is if Southern Miss work to sweep, and let's say Coastal Carolina wins the series in Lafayette, Southern Miss and Coastal would share the regular season title, but Coastal would be the one seed in Montgomery due to the tiebreaker.
The league has got to address
that. Which the tiebreaker, to me, ought to very simply come down to RPI.
You think so? Well, I don't think so. I think it should be a conference. I think the tiebreaker is fair, is the team's records against the next highest in the standings, who would be App State, and Southern Miss beat them in a series, but Coastal swept, so Coastal get the one
well,
seed.
They
but you
should
still
be
share the regular season title.
They should be playing one another.
Yeah. See, I've always been in favor of a hybrid weekend, you know, in the last week.
Oz indicated he was in favor of that, too.
Yeah. I just think that makes sense. I think it'd be better for everybody.
Can you imagine this weekend, Demo?
Yeah.
A Coastal Southern Miss series would draw national attention, mm-hmm. and the league championship would be decided the last weekend of the season.
I think it'd be awesome. And of course, you know, to Coastal's credit, they put themselves in a position to be the one seed currently. So that I think the games would be in Conway, right? Which would be great. And you know, so it would be really good. And then you're 3 and 4 seeds, right? You're mm-hmm. App State and South Alabama, who's trying to position themselves in the tournament, they play each other and get better RPI.
Well, FYI, I do believe they are playing each other the next 2 years.
Yes.
I think that's right.
Next year at Conway
and the year after that in Hattiesburg.
And you did talk about how basketball has done something like that. You remember they called them pods a couple of years ago in order to improve their RPI. You know, the 1, 2, 3, and 4 would play each other so on down the line in hopes that the Sun Belt might work itself into a second bid in the NCAA basketball tournament. Turns out it didn't work, but you had to applaud the league for at least trying something to upgrade the basketball product across the country. Again, it didn't work. And of all of the leagues, I think most of us would agree that the basketball league is the biggest problem mm-hmm. right now, is to try to get overall improvement in that basketball conference to get more than just one team into the postseason play.
Right.
But, man, it's right now, baseball, it's a mess.
And I want to say kudos to James Madison University. I thought their broadcast team, Dima said this earlier, I agree, I thought it was the best I've heard this year. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to those guys, and I thoroughly enjoyed seeing the young students, the broadcast students, doing reports during the game and doing post-game interviews with our players. I have mm-hmm. never seen that. Kudos to JMU. That was really well done.
Yeah, I thought so. It was definitely the best away broadcast that I've seen all season for sure.
I'll tell you what my outward thoughts on JMU is. There is no reason. And look, I'm not taking anything away from our team. Our Southern Miss team is great. But James Madison's overall body of work this year, when you take into account football, basketball. I mean, look at their two football coaches. One is just that have left over the past 2 or 3 years. Yes. One just won a natty, right, at Indiana. And Bob Chesney just left to go to UCLA. So, I mean, they're cranking out good football coaches. Their basketball teams are competitive. That baseball team, there is no reason to be a school held in that high regard and to have those kind of resources and not be able to put them. Now, I don't know what their injury situation is. So you take that with a grain of salt, but there's no reason that James Madison should be that bad.
Not a very good facility either, it didn't appear to me.
Certainly not.
No, I mean, it's the Taj Mahal compared to Georgia State, but I mean, overall, not.
Well, it's actually a college ballpark as opposed to a Little League one.
Not even a Little League one. The old VFW field that no one uses anymore. That would be Georgia State.
Yeah, and I'm just surprised that James Madison isn't. Yeah. I don't know. Baseball-wise, they need to tighten up.
Well, they did a first-class job in broadcasting the game for all of us to see, so kudos.
Yeah, I'm saying just about every product that they have is top-notch, except for the team that they
– The baseball team is not Jamestown Madison. That's just going to be football. That's like calling the defensive team here the Nasty Bunch. Some things you just don't do, Kelly.
Right. Right, and you would think that that they're going to address this in the offseason. And again, by no means am I taking anything away from our Eagles team because they're really
good. Do we have to play them in football?
Yes, this year.
Oh, well. They'll get their payback.
And just so that you remember, Bob, football season comes after baseball.
Yes, I know, yes.
Okay, you have remembered that. Okay.
And after basketball starts, too, right?
Well, that's next week, I think.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, a lot of baseball coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you wanted to cater a game, Kelly, and you really wanted to make everybody at your party happy, where would you go?
Simple, pimple, easy peasy.
Yeah?
I would go to our favorite barbecue.
Dickie's Barbecue.
Right, next to Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg.
Dickie's, that's really one of their very good specialties. They like to cater events, let's put it that way.
Yeah, small groups are big, and of course, it's barbecue is excellent, but what I especially like about Dickie's is the different choices you get side items. Lots of times it's just coleslaw or beans or something like that, but right. Dickie's, they've got a lot of choices for you, like macaroni and cheese for the kids. Because sometimes kids don't like barbecue.
They make really good potato casserole. Really good. And you like the spinach.
I do. The cream spinach is really good.
Yeah. Does it make you like Popeye? Make you strong? Dima's probably too young to know who Popeye is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
There we go.
You really don't?
No. He was the first cousin of Hank Williams.
Which is why he wouldn't know him, right?
All right. Also, if you've got some gold or silver laying around the house, and who doesn't? Actually, a lot of people do, and you can convert that to cash at Jewel Masters. Nobody's bought gold or silver as long as Marty Vick here in the Pine Belt. He really is an expert at it. He's an extremely honest man, and he will give you top dollar. It'll be confidential. You will be in and out quickly at Jewel Masters, Kelly.
And he's the king of the dad joke. So if you want to, no extra charge, he'll throw in a corny dad joke for you.
Yeah, he's a great guy. There's a little question about that. All right, Damon, news and notes.
I think we're throwing it to Kelly.
Yeah, right? Actually, I got a lot on news and notes today.
Well, let's hear.
Southern Miss Basketball has announced that Cameron Wallace has announced he will be heading to Southern Miss out of Arkansas Little Rock. Cameron Wallace is going to be a marketer's dream. You're really going to like this kid when you see him. Very articulate, and was the leader of that Trojans team last year. And actually, Coach Ladner is going to be on with us a little bit later on this week. But while we're speaking of basketball, Kyle Roan, former Southern Miss assistant, who then went back to southeastern Louisiana, it's announced that he has been hired as an assistant coach at Troy. So if you're going to get an assistant coach, why not get somebody that knows the Sun Belt Conference and knows the area that you're going to have to recruit players against? So where he was working for Southern Miss recruiting players, now he'll be working for Troy recruiting against Southern Miss in the same part of the country. It's funny how things work. And Tylik Weeks, the star of the Southern Miss, one of the two stars on the Southern Miss basketball team this last year, announced on his social media platforms that he had signed with Memphis, so he will be a Tiger. But then the question everybody was asking was, well, how much did he get? And according to our sources, Tylik Weeks got $1.5 million to play at Memphis. well, we can play that all we want, but as a kid.
Just, that's just too, that's hard to believe.
Right out of our backyard, $1.5 million. And
well, all I can say is good for him. I mean, that's
well,
life-changing
money.
Well,
I mean, I'd take the $1.5 million for sure. There should be a new slogan. Come to Southern Miss. We'll make you a millionaire the year you leave.
Yes. But that, don't you just feel bad for Jay and all the coaches?
Of course I do, yes.
They develop these guys. And then,
who had ever heard of this guy before he came here? Did he play at Alcorn?
Southwest Community College.
Yeah,
he was a Bear down there in Summit, Mississippi, and now he's a millionaire up in Memphis
with Charles Huff.
And big football news, you guys! Big football news. Besides Charles Huff, Swayze Bozeman, former linebacker for Southern Miss,
he's been waiting for this all weekend.
Former Kansas City Chief has finally come to his senses. And has signed a free agent linebacker deal with the future Super Bowl champion.
I have an update.
Cincinnati Bengals.
I have an update. They signed him last week. He has entered counseling for depression this week, Kelly. He knows his career is now officially over.
No, now wait a minute here. Did the check not clear? Well, that, which is
I'm not sure.
It's
I'm
a distinct sure. possibility with Mike Brown, the owners of the Bengals, yeah. the Brown family.
We are going to get up a company pool here. We're going to buy slots to determine how many games will Joe Burrow make it before he's out for the year. I'm in at 4.
Well, Dima, you set the over-under at what, 6?
Yes.
Okay, so
the over and under 6.
Well, if we don't,
can Swayze play quarterback?
If we don't protect him any more than we protect him, then he could. He's got generational wealth as it is. He could just say, "Look, man, I'm just going to pick up and leave."
Swayze Bozeman is a great young man.
Yeah, he really
Flora,
is.
Flora, Mississippi.
Yeah, good Christian kid who's done it the right way. Yeah. And we're efforting him. He couldn't get on the show today or tomorrow, but we're hoping maybe later in the week he'll be able to jump
well,
on here
take
with
him, it'll take him 2 or 3 weeks to get over the depression and shock of this.
Actually, Bob, I think he's pinching himself. Just
I bet he is, too. Like, what the hell did I do wrong?
I think it's
I've worked my whole life for this, and now this is what they do to me?
I think it's just the opposite. He has landed on his feet in such
I've got to wear those hideous uniforms and lose.
Hey, the schedule for the NFL is going to drop this coming Thursday, so we'll know for sure. There are some leaks kind of coming out prior to that. Like last night, they announced that the first Sunday night game would be the America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, at the New York Giants.
That's a barn burner, isn't it?
Well, you love those. No, it's the Eagles fans you hate.
It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I hope they put all of theirs on all these weird little channels you got to pay to buy them.
Or those, well, the Bengal games will be on Cartoon Network.
Yes, well, for good reason. Yes, for good reason.
But the full schedule is going to drop on Thursday.
Yeah. Poor Swayze. Swayze, if you're listening, we're sorry, young man, but just make the best of a bad situation.
Hey, he'll be wearing
you can catch him on Cartoon Network.
That Super Bowl ring next year at this time.
As my grandmother used to say, just try to make lemonade out of those lemons. So there we go. Southern Miss, Kelly.
To the top, baby. And time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.